Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.
Pastor Motakwa, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, moderator. I hope you are fine.
We are well, thank you, my pastor. Have you been well? Are you okay?
Very much okay.
Great to hear that. Fantastic news indeed. Well, today we are continuing with the second coming of the Messiah. And of course, I do want to thank you so much, for joining us this afternoon. We started this topic, of course, a couple of days back. Yesterday, actually, I'm thinking it's Wednesday. And of course, today we are continuing to talk about the second coming. And every time we talk about the second coming of Christ, we can't avoid the obvious question of how soon is soon? When will his coming be? Some of the men who wrote the New Testament thought it would return. He would return rather in their lifetime, as they say. I mean, I think the writer of 1 Corinthians 4:17 says, but then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air. So they thought they would be alive. And then we will be with the Lord forever. So we want to know when exactly is the coming again. So we hope that, Pastor, by the end of this conversation, we would have been able to attend to all of these. So, first off, I know that you would want us to call upon the name of the Lord. So let me hand over to you before we can actually start with the first one.
Thank you so much. Gracious, kind and loving God in heaven, this afternoon on Tuesday, we have yet another opportunity to speak to your people and speak to ourselves. We pray again for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit to guide us and lead us, the moderator and myself. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen indeed. Well, Pastor, we would like to know, when will the second coming happen? They say he's coming soon. And this has been centuries and centuries and centuries ago, literally in the very early centuries. This soon was said to be coming soon. Yet we are now centuries later. And we are still looking. I mean, our great-grandfathers thought that he is coming in their lifetime. But those who wrote some of these scriptures thought he is coming in their lifetime. It never happened. In fact, it is beginning to create doubt in many that if he's actually indeed still coming. So perhaps let's get some kind of idea of when will this coming happen.
Okay, thank you so much. This is a very crucial topic, and it requires some carefulness in terms of responding to it. Let me begin by quoting Matthew chapter 24, verse 3 and 5. But for this particular question, I am interested in the last part of verse 4. The Bible says, now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be? And what shall be the sign of your coming? I think there is a part which is covering this one as we go down. And then, and the end of the age. The end of the age here refers to the time when the generation would come to an end. Probably when he was talking to the disciples probably thought he was referring to the end of their age. Let me give another scripture before I get to the explanation of the, when answering the question. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26 and 27, the Bible says, he then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. 27, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this, the judgment. Now, we must understand here what is going on with Christ here.
Okay, all right.
What he's trying to refer to. here was a situation where Jesus was talking about how the city of Jerusalem, where the disciples were priding themselves, would be destroyed by the Romans. And when he finished speaking about this, when he went aside, Peter, James, and others followed him. And they began to ask him, tell us, when will this be? And now Jesus answers. There are two questions here that he had to look at. One about the destruction of Jerusalem, about the time of the end of the age. Because the time of the end of the age would mean that is when Christ shall return. So what he did, he never even told them that Jerusalem would be destroyed in AD 70.
Mm-hmm.
He never told them that I would be coming on this. He simply talked about the end of the age. And in this context, he wanted them to spend time to study, to know what the word of God would say about the time when he was going to be coming. So this simply means his coming would be at the end of the age, the end of the race, of which the disciples could have thought it was their time, but they died. We are here today. So when this question, we can simply say his coming will happen at the end of the age.
When is the end of the age, Pastor?
I don't know the end of the age. There is no specification. To me, it's simply the end where he simply himself comes. But when exactly, I don't know.
But Pastor, when you say at the end of the age, and the statement that says coming soon, those are not the same thing. Those are completely different things. Are you now adjusting that time of coming soon?
No, the coming soon implies that the people who are anticipating his coming must do something. And they are told, it's just for an example, someone leaves the house and says, your father leaves the house and says, oh, hey, brothers, I should find this ready. I'm coming soon. You don't know how soon he's coming. So you must make sure that you make that thing that he's asking Freddy, because he could come after 30 minutes. He could come after an hour. He could come after 5 hours. It's not known.
But surely, Pastor, when you say, I'm coming soon, and you like the example say, I'm going to buy bread, but I'm going to come soon. Surely there is a measure of an expectation that this person may come in an hour, 2 hours, perhaps 3 hours or 5 hours. However, yes. If this person now it's day two, day three, he hasn't come, day five, and day eight, day 10, already we decide, no, you know what? He's not coming anymore. I mean, it's natural to think that, okay, he said he's coming soon, and the day went past, 2 days went past, 5 days, because he says he's just going to come buy bread and come back, and he has not come. So, so the soon truly, truly should be relative to the time that was spoken about. And if it has not happened, then what are we to say?
No, that depends on how much trust you have in that particular person.
Okay.
That tells you that they are coming soon.
All right.
So the issue here is based on trust, on a belief, on how much faith you have in that particular person when he says like that.
Mm.
Even when it takes 1 hour, it takes 2 hours, it takes 2 days. The fact that you know is that he's coming back. He has told you and he has never lied. So even with this, with Jesus, the way he demonstrated his life on earth, the way he did whatever he predicted, he talked about, happened. He talked about himself being hung on the cross, happened. All this that he did was a sign for the disciples to have a trust and a belief in him.
Mm.
So the time frame, how much it takes, depends on how much they trust him. Because he will not be disappointed. He will not be disheartened, even if the time frame elongates. Because we know he will certainly come. So the coming soon is to ensure that we are ready. That is the connotation in this particular situation.
Yeah, no, I do understand that this coming soon, because soon then becomes relative. It could really be any time, because it could be in the next 1,000 years.
Yes.
Okay.
What is important is preparation for that.
Now, what is the reason for all the secrecy and mystery surrounding the exact point of his return?
Well, This one is also another very interesting question.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it emanates from the same verses, especially when you look at Matthew chapter 24.
Right.
Now, here, Jesus did not answer his disciples by, like I had said earlier on, by talking, referring to the two matters separately. He only blended in such a way that he wanted them to study and be careful in what they were doing. Now, what we must understand here, when we get to Matthew chapter 24, verse 42 to 44, the Bible says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what your Lord is coming." But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Verse 44, "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour that you do not, the whole lot of you, do not expect." So the secrecy and the mystery that surrounds the date of his return is the fact that he told them to prepare. Because if he told them that he was going to come in 2020, and then these disciples know that he's coming far away from us, what's the use of even believing in him? Let's do whatever we can do, because it won't even be in our time. So the secrecy behind, the mystery behind, is to make the people ready, to make the people prepare for his coming, So this is what looks mysterious around them. This is why he did not even tell them about the date. And in fact, when we get down into the last question, we would be able to put more fresh on this particular question, because it is similar to the last question.
Right. Now, you know, I think that it's got a sense that, you know, you may want to be catching people out if you're not going to be telling them, okay, expect me around Friday. I should be arriving there so that people can actually prepare that Mutakwa is coming back on Friday or around about Friday, thereabout. It should be either Thursday or Friday, but he's going to be around those dates. Now, if you say, no, he's going to come, and but no one knows when is it going to be, etc., it's makes of wanting to catch people out unprepared.
No, not necessarily. I think I had left out another reason. Why it is like this mystery around. Jesus knew that after he has departed, there would be people who would come, who would be setting up dates, would be saying, "Oh, this is coming like we here now." No, the other time we heard is in Kenya, in Zambia at one time, we heard is in Kitwe, and all those. He knew that this would happen. But I think basically, even when you talk about wanting to catch people unaware, when you tell people that, brothers, you ought to do ABC, like even when you were a lecturer, you say, this week, it is on a Monday, any day, I am going to give you a test, or I am going to give you a mid-exam. You are trying to ask the students to prepare. Because you can decide to say like that this week on a Tuesday, on a Monday evening you bring it. So the moment you mention it on a Tuesday, students who are very serious begin to flip around. Because they don't know which day. So it's to keep their mind alert. Because if you say, I'll bring it on a Friday, they will spend all these other days, they are just racing around. Probably they will want to start catching the books on Thursday.
Yeah.
So it's to keep them busy, to keep them glued to the books, so that when that day comes, they are ready. And this is the logic behind what Christ was saying here.
I see. Now, what signs should we look out for signaling his imminent return?
There have been several signs. Signs in the religion, false Christ and false prophets, according to Matthew chapter 24. We have seen quite a number of these people claiming they are hearing people. I remember at one time someone appeared on social media and he was claiming to talk to God on the phone. "Hello, God, I have a woman who is sick here," and all those things. And we can't talk to God in that fashion. So we have seen a lot of deviation from the Bible to people forming up religions to enrich themselves. And also signs in the politics, there are wars all over, which don't seem to come to an end. Politicians don't seem to talk to each other, but they are of one tribe. They keep fighting against each other. Matthew chapter 24, verse 6, it says, "And you hear of wars and rumors of war. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom." That's according to verse 27. When you talk about the 21st century, I've seen so much war, so much fighting. Even when they claim peace, there has never been real peace. People talk peace on the table, but as they go out there, they go to fight. They are preparing weapons to fight. Signs in the world of nature. Today we have what we call global warming. When it rains, it comes, sometimes it rains abnormally. When the sun tries to heat, it hits abnormally. There are all these things that show that there is something that is strange. Famine, hunger, like Matthew chapter 24, verse 7, which says there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. We have seen hunger in Ethiopia and other places. In fact, at one time, United States, Nations says 1/6 of the population of the world is undernourished, meaning there is trouble that is there. Jesus spoke about these diseases. Talk about COVID-19, which is to be recurring now. Like we have already been warned, it is coming time and again. How many people did it kill? Thousands and thousands, if not millions of people, died of these earthquakes. All these in diverse places are signs that show us Jesus is coming. Signs in the society, moral decay in the society. Today, people can walk naked. Today, we hear of lesbians and homosexuals, men marrying fellow men, women marrying fellow women. This is actually described in Matthew chapter 24, verses 7 and 38, referring to the days of Noah and the days of Lot. As it was, it shall be in our days. We have seen these things happening. They are taking place, moderator.
Thank you, Pastor. You're talking about wars and stuff like that. I'm reminded that these wars, man, have been happening for centuries. I mean, I remember the World War One, for instance, the First World War, Second World War. Even before that, there's been conflict among the countries and the nations and stuff like that. All of these signs seem to have come to pass, yet the coming second coming has not occurred.
These haven't even come to pass. Of course, Second World War and others. But check globally what is going on. Right now, Israel and the Hamas are fighting there. Go to the DRC. Go to the Central Republic and there. See what is happening. People are fighting. Go to Ukraine and Russia. They are busy fighting. What is actually we hear, even what is making fuel to be expensive, is because of these wars that are going around. Just go in some countries, inside them, there are rebels. In Nigeria, what is going on there, the government fighting against another sect, another group. So you see that there is this confusion going on. And even in our own countries, you find that politicians themselves fight. They are killing each other. Much as you may say about the Second World War, the First World War, that they have passed, but there are new wars on a larger scale, on a worldwide scale, that are creating uncertainty in the whole world. So these have not come to an end. We have not enjoyed peace, moderator.
Well, Pastor, does the Son of Man really not know the date of his return? I mean, he claims not to know the date, and yet he is the one that is coming. Does he truly, truly not know, Pastor? I suspect that he actually has knowledge of this. I mean, you can't be saying, "I'm going to a place," and you don't even know when you're going. Not so? So does he truly not know the date of his return?
Again, another tricky question. The answer to this, moderator, that is referring to Matthew chapter 24, verse 60, is not found in the date of Christ, but is in the humanity of Christ. What do I mean? At what time was Christ saying this way? Because in John 1, verse 1 and 14, it speaks of Jesus being fully human and fully man, fully good. Fully human.
Hello,
here
Pastor.
We see a union of Christ.
We are talking about Jesus as an example. Hello, are you
listening
to me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Yeah, I think the internet. Let me repeat, I was saying, you are talking of Jesus, who has become man, who has come as an example, who speaks in the line of being an example for humanity. And as he speaks like that, he speaks to let those understand that this dead is beyond him, as he is in human form. This means that Jesus lived completely in submission to the Father as an example. There are several chapters we can read about this. And then because of this, Jesus demonstrates the submission to the Father, oneness with God. But as Jesus goes back to take full time with humanity, I want to believe that he knows the date. But when on the earth here, the time is such that he's setting as an example, he should not be telling about the dead when he's coming, but he should let people prepare for his coming. So the setup to me, from the way I understand it, is that he's speaking from a point of a Jesus who is giving an example to mankind. If he told of the deity when he was going to come, just imagine what would happen, how the disciples would be disappointed at that time, because they anticipated him to come in their time. They would have left the ministry to do something else.
Yeah, these things are complex. These things are not easy. They need us to study them further. They need us to study them much more closer. But of course, you've shed some great, great light this afternoon, of course, helping us to understand some of these things. Pastor Mutakwa, I do want to thank you so much for coming through this afternoon.
Thank you. I am delighted to be on this program.
Thank you so much. Blessings. We connect again tomorrow, same time, same place.
All right. Shalom.
Shalom.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.